Merry Christmas, everyone. As always, let's start with a moment of silent prayer before we begin our service. This is your opportunity to apply 1 John 1:9, to confess any unconfessed sin before we study God's Word. Let us pray. O Lord, you are holy, and you are enthroned upon the praises of your people. Your way is holy and you are great. We give thanks to your holy name, for you have made us to share in your holiness. We thank you this morning for Dick and Patricia Bauckham and their work with the Chinese churches. We ask that those brothers and sisters in China would continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of their Lord and Savior as a result of the ministry of the Bauckhams. We ask that they would bring glory to your name in that country through their work on your behalf. So too, Father, we pray for Pastor Juan Sanchez and High Point Baptist Church. We ask that this Christmas would be a time of reflection upon what it means that you sent your Son to be born of a woman, to die on the cross, and to be resurrected as a blessing to the whole world. We pray for Ron Davis and the Travis County Commissioners, for Governor Perry, for President Obama, and our government leaders this morning. We ask that they would not fall prey to the arguments of those opposed to you, that those opposed to Christianity would not be able to erode our freedom to worship you, to openly celebrate the birth of your Son. We ask that you would give our leaders the wisdom to remember the principles that were used in founding our country, and to recognize these efforts to suppress that which these people cannot accept because of their own sin. Father, we pray this morning for the many families who have lost loved ones in the past few months through storms, through violence. As we approach what should be a time of joy, we know that they are even more acutely experiencing that pain of loss, even more aware that those who have shared the holidays with them in the past will not be with them this Christmas. We ask for the comfort upon them that can only come from you. We ask that their loss would be something that causes them to search for the answers that are only found in Jesus Christ. Father, we continue to pray for the spiritual restoration of our country. We ask that you would move men, women, and children to turn from their sins to you in faith, that those who have already put their trust in your Son would hunger for your word and continue to grow in their relationship with you. Father, we pray for those here today that this would be a time of blessing and joy as we remember the birth of your Son who came to save us all from our sins, to be a blessing upon the whole world. We ask that this would be a time of fellowship with one another and with family, that we may be refreshed as we go back into our daily routines, encouraged by the reminder of who Jesus is and why we serve you through him. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When I think on Christmas stories, I think of snow outside, I think of a fire in the fireplace, of sitting on the floor, sitting hot cocoa, listening to my uncle read from part of Luke with his deep, rich voice filling the room. That's just my picture of Christmas, not surprising considering where I'm from. But the Christmas story I'm going to tell you this morning, it will have a nice, warm, fuzzy kind of ending, but it's not how it starts. Because it starts with the nightmare before Christmas. It begins with the Christmas story told to Satan. So let's start with Satan's Christmas story. Genesis 3:15. And this comes at a point when Satan had tempted Eve, and she sinned. And Eve gave to Adam, and he sinned. And this is what God says. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. So these are the consequences of those actions. Right? And we have consequences in the promise. And this isn't really, if you look at it from Satan's side, this isn't a happy promise. This promise anticipates one who would be born of a woman. He's not said to be born of a man. This looks to a future seed that would suffer because of Satan. But he would destroy Satan in the process. He would oppose all who follow Satan into sin. So here we have God saying, Merry Christmas, Satan. Your doom is coming. That's how Christmas begins. It's the doom of Satan. And we are going to follow this promise throughout Scripture as it builds. The next part is Merry Christmas to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. In Genesis 2:3, God says, I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And this was said to Abraham. God repeats it to Abraham in Genesis 22:18. He says, in your seed, the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Then to Isaac, God says in Genesis 26:4, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and will give your descendants all these lands. And your descendants, and by your descendants, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. To Jacob, he says in Genesis 28:14, your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now here we see a consistent message given to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. God's repeating the same promise, the Abrahamic covenant. And he follows the line of promise. And here, when we see that he says the descendants, all right, that's literally the word seed. The same word is used throughout. By your seed, all the nations will be blessed. By your seed, all the families of the world will be blessed. It's through the seed of the patriarchs. It's through their line, through Israel, that the entire world would be blessed. And in the inclusiveness here, this is broad scope. This isn't just through your line Israel will be blessed. God says through your line, both Jew and Gentile will be blessed. And we see this in Acts 3:25 and 26. I'm sorry, 24 through 26. And likewise, all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and his successors onward also have announced these days. It is you who are the sons of the prophets and the covenants which God made to your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. For you first, God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways. Galatians 3:8, Paul says, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So here we have the New Testament looking back to those very promises given to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and looking at it and saying, the time has come. That it was looking forward to this day, and that was Peter speaking at Pentecost, saying, all the seed, in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And what was he saying? He was telling those people right there at Pentecost, says, this is the time. And he's speaking in the context of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The blessing for all the nations was in the resurrection. And this specifically includes the Gentiles. He's speaking to Jews. He says, to you first. And then Paul says, and to the Gentiles. The blessing of Christ was for the whole world. And that blessing was specifically the resurrection. And it's appropriated through faith in Jesus Christ. And it provides a deliverance from present sinfulness. This is the blessing. When he says, to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways. Here it is. This is the blessing. It's deliverance from sin. And it's for everyone. So Merry Christmas, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then we have Merry Christmas to Judah. Genesis 49, 9 through 10. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He crouches, he lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who dares rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor shall the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. So here we have a promise again, right, looking to Judah, and the promise to Judah is, hey, your descendant shall rule. Right? There's hints of kingship here, right? And even more. Broad spectrum. The peoples. Not just Israel, but the peoples shall show obedience. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. And here we have intimations of an eternal nature of this rule. It's not just a rule that will last for a generation or two. It says it shall not depart, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet. This is a sign of authority, eternal authority. And then Hebrews 7:14 says, for it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, a tribe with reference to which Moses spoke nothing about concerning priests. We know that Jesus Christ was a priest, but he was not a priest from the tribe of Levi. He wasn't a Levitical priest. He wasn't an Aaronic priest. He was a priest according to Melchizedek, who was a priest and a king. Revelation 5:5 says, and one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, from the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. This ruler, who is a descendant of Judah, this ruler is going to be the great judge. So, Merry Christmas, Judah. Your descendant shall rule as a king over nations, and he shall be the great judge. The great judge. So here's the promise to Judah. And we saw that he was of the tribe of descendant of David. 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 to 16. When your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and strokes of the sons of men. But my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed before you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. Here's God's promise to David. David said, I live in a magnificent palace, and it's wrong for me, a servant of the Most High, to live in the palace if there's nothing for him. And we see David desired to build a temple, and God said, no, not you, but your son will do it. And in the media context, we see Solomon does go forth and build a temple of cedar, a precious stone, of gold. It was beautiful. It was magnificent, as things are counted in these days. But really, it looks forward to a different kind of temple, a different kind of son. Hebrews 1:5, when speaking of Jesus Christ and the nature of who Jesus Christ was, says, "For to which of the angels did he ever say, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you'? And again, 'I will be a father to him and he shall be a son to me.'" He didn't say that to an angel. He said that to the eternal Son. And here, the author of Hebrews quotes this promise given to David. While that in the immediate context, we see Solomon following David. That promise looked forward to Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ would be the descendant of David, and that he would have an eternal kingdom, an eternal throne, and that he would have an intimate relationship with the Father as the Son of God. This is, speaks to his, really, when you look at Hebrews 1:5, it looks to his divine nature. The fact that he was God the Son incarnate. Something never done to angels. He is unique. He is a one-of-a-kind king. God the Son incarnate. Merry Christmas, David. This is your descendant. And we have Merry Christmas to Mary and Joseph. Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." Israel was looking at dark days. Isaiah makes a prophecy. Look to an immediate context, but as greater implications as it looks forward to the virgin with the son. The son. A virgin will be with child. It's a miracle. Something that has never happened before, never happens again, one of a time, one time, one of a kind event, a virgin will bear a son. Matthew looks to this in Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 to 23. And speaking of Joseph, who's just found out his fiancée is pregnant. That doesn't look good. And Joseph, being the honorable man, was trying to figure out how does he handle this? What does he do? Right. "But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means 'God with us.'" So Isaiah foretold, he gave a Christmas prophecy here of Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. And it says, right there, God with us. That this descendant of David, that this child of a virgin, would be God incarnate. Now this does more than just provide a miracle that we can be amazed with. It's a picture of the new creation. It foreshadows through sinless birth the sinless perfection of that resurrection body. It's a hint of things to come. It's the beginning of the old Adam, new Adam picture here. Adam did not have a biological father. God breathed life into him. Jesus Christ did not have an earthly biological father. The Holy Spirit, the life-giving Spirit, formed him in Mary's womb. Jesus Christ could not be a descendant of Adam because then he would inherit Adam's sin. He would be born into that Adam paradigm that didn't work. But Jesus began as Adam did, without sin in a mortal body. But Jesus did what Adam did not. He faced temptation. He faced sin and he rejected it. And at the resurrection, Jesus was raised with a body that was more than Adam's ever could have been. Jesus became the prototype, if you will, of a new mankind, a better mankind that would never sin. So Jesus is the new Adam. Merry Christmas to Mary. Merry Christmas, Joseph. Your son is the beginning of a new human race, of a new kind of people, the new Adam. We have Merry Christmas to Israel. Isaiah 9, verses 1 to 7 say, "But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt, but later on he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea, on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and the cloak rolled in blood will be for burning, fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness, from then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." How's that for a promise? Isaiah right there says things are bad. But look, there will be a time. There will be a king. And what a glorious time it'll be. That king will rule. He will rule over the throne of David, over that nation. But it'll be a different kind of rule. He will do things David couldn't do. He will bring peace. David didn't have peace. David was called a man of blood because he was at war. But this son of David will rule in peace. This son of David will have an eternal kingdom. This son of David will have true justice, true righteousness. This will be the kingdom. It says the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Think about the zeal of God. If God is zealous about something, do you think it's not going to happen? Indeed, we see it in Matthew chapter 4, 12 through 16. "Now when Jesus heard that John had been taken into custody, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and settled into Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, 'The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. Those who were sitting in the land and the shadow of death, upon them a light dawned.' From that time Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Luke 1, 32 and 33 say, 'He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.'" This is the promise to Israel. Merry Christmas, Israel. This child that Isaiah foretold of, the birth of this son to Israel, would be the king. that leads him into peace, would be the king that would rule in righteousness and justice. This is the king that would bring them freedom from oppression. And this kingdom would be eternal. But this king would also be a blessing to the Gentiles. This king would bring light to a people who had no hope. And we see that Jesus Christ here, Matthew says, this is the one. This is that king. He is that child. He is that ruler with the eternal kingdom. And Jesus Christ himself said, that kingdom is almost upon you. That kingdom is almost here. Then we have Merry Christmas to Bethlehem. Micah 5:2 says, but as for you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth from me to be a ruler in Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Matthew looks at that in chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. It says, gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, speaking of Herod, our favorite king, I'm sure, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. This is where the Messiah is from. Bethlehem. The king of the eternal kingdom would come from this little tiny backwoods hick town, Bethlehem. And he would be the Messiah. The king, the ruler. So here, let me summarize all these promises. The promise that he would destroy Satan, sin, and suffering. This promised one would be the seed of Eve, but not of Adam. This promised one would be a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, through David. He would be born in Bethlehem. He would be God incarnate, who would rule over Israel forever on David's throne. And that kingdom would be characterized by peace, by freedom, righteousness, and justice. That promised one would be a blessing to all people, both Jews and Gentiles. And that blessing was effected, it was caused, brought about by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ's virgin birth pictures this new creation that would begin at his resurrection. And he is the future judge. So Christmas is the celebration of Jesus Christ's physical birth as man in preparation for his resurrection as new man. God planned for and he promised the new creation from the very beginning. When God created the garden, there was already the potential for the sin, as seen with the tree, as seen with the influence from Satan. But from that very same beginning, God was preparing for a new creation, one in which there would be no sin, no deception, no temptation. And this new creation was intended from the very beginning to be without Satan, without his influence, without the horror of sin, horror of death that Satan had just unleashed upon that once pristine creation. Jesus Christ is God's answer to Adam. All in Adam's image could sin, would sin. But for the second time in history, there was a man with a mortal body who did not start in this sinful state. The virgin birth prophesied by Isaiah meant that Jesus Christ did not inherit Adam's curse. Adam's sin was not imputed to him. During his first incarnation, and notice I say first incarnation, Jesus Christ lived by the power of the Holy Spirit in a mortal body, functioning as the model for the Christian life that we now live. He rejected sin. He rejected temptation. But the second incarnation, at the resurrection, Jesus Christ became the blessing for all mankind. He became the model for the new man, living in an imperishable body. He's the model of what the new creation will be like. Eternal life in a perfect, sinless state. So when we celebrate Christmas, we remember the birth of our Savior. Right? But we should remember that the miracle of His birth through the life-giving work of the Spirit foreshadowed that greater miracle of resurrection through the life-giving work of the Spirit and all that that means. So Merry Christmas. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, You are a God who does mighty things. You have done countless magnificent works, starting with creation, looking at Your children who You brought out of Egypt with Your mighty and powerful hand. You've done miracles and wonders, but throughout it all, You have promised us our Savior, Your Son. You have been showing us from the beginning that this creation is not enough, that we need Your Son to save us, that we need this new creation where there can be no sin. And Father, we thank You for providing us Your Son who died on the cross for our sins, but even more, whom You raised up through Your Spirit, that we could share in His life now, even as we have mortal bodies and as we eagerly anticipate that time when we will shed this mortal for the immortal, that we will be part of that eternal kingdom in which there is no sin. Father, we thank You for bringing this hope to us who had no hope, for blessing us who had no blessing. And Father, as we remember this time of Your Son's birth, I pray that we would also remember all that it means and all that we have to look forward to. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.